This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Well, today is David Bowie's birthday, and I'm sad that he's not still with us because he was a musical genius. He was somebody who was very, very open with who he was. He was very innovative. You know, this was a time back in the 70s when a young baby boomer generation, which is now the establishment, this young generation back in the 70s was, showing how different it was from the establishment. And David Bowie sort of represented that independent, different attitude of the boomer generation. David Bowie was bisexual, by his own admission. But in the beginning, people didn't know that. You know, I was doing music radio earlier in my career, and I remember getting this album, and, you know, back in those days, we actually played the album. I mean, I took the album, the vinyl album, out of the album cover and put it on the turntable and queued it up and played the records. You know, really, those were, in some ways, the good old days of radio, which I'll talk about one day on the show. But I remember the album with David Bowie, and his head was morphed into the body of a dog. And I just thought how fascinating and how weird that was. And David Bowie was weird, and he was one of a kind. You know, he really did distance himself from the crowd. And when you do that, you know, you better be really confident in what you're doing, because you're out there essentially alone. You don't have a lot of people parallel with you doing the same kind of thing. David Bowie was out there. And he just did some, you know, great, great music, some of his early stuff. And then, you know, over the period of time, with all of his work, he really covered a lot of areas and showed us, different genres within his own work. And I'm going to play some of my favorite David Bowie songs. In fact, we're going to honor David Bowie today on his 78th birthday on what would have been his 78th birthday by using David Bowie music as our bumper music all hour. And I picked a couple of my favorite songs. But I did not get all of my favorites because we only have so many that we can play. And there were a lot of favorites. If you're just tuning in, let me bring you up to date on some of the things that we've been talking about. We have been talking a little bit about the shooting of the woman in Minnesota. And, you know, once again, Minnesota has been the hotbed of a lot of controversy, from George Floyd to other shootings to the protest of 2020. And for some reason, that is an area that is just prone to controversy. And so now we have ICE agents shooting this woman. I've seen the video. I haven't studied it closely. I don't know that I have a real opinion on this yet, and maybe I never will. But I'm concerned that all of the ICE agents are not properly trained. And the administration has admitted that they have rushed people through the training process to just get them to be active ICE agents, because they needed so many agents to keep up with Stephen Miller's goal of removing a certain quota, a certain number of people from the country every day. So they rush people through the process. And I think it's kind of an insult to law enforcement in general to rush people through the process, because law enforcement is a very serious business. And people need to be dedicated to that business. They need to be dedicated to the jobs that they're doing. And it's kind of an insult to kind of rush people through the training process and then give them guns and give them all this equipment and say, yes, you're law enforcement. You know, think about the people that really went through the true training to become law enforcement. And not everybody deserves to be called law enforcement. And I'm afraid that some of these people who are ICE agents don't really deserve to be called law enforcement. The administration is launching a $100 million campaign targeting gun lovers, NASCAR fans and MAGA fans. Because you're a gun lover, a MAGA fan, MAGA supporter, or NASCAR fan, that doesn't qualify you in any way, shape, or form to be a nice agent. And, you know, there could be some guy who loves guns. Man, I love Trump. Man, I love guns. Man, I love my NASCAR. Man, I got to have my NASCAR. Love it. Love it. I want to be an ICE agent. You know, that person is not necessarily going to be a good ICE agent. So I don't know. You know, maybe ICE did the right thing. I haven't expressed an opinion on this yet because I don't know. And I haven't really studied exactly what happened. But I do wonder about some of the ICE agents who are given the dignity of being called, the honor of being called law enforcement, when they really didn't go through the process that a lot of other people went through to reach the point of being called law enforcement. I'm concerned about that. I'm also concerned that the administration wants to block out all of the Minnesota investigators. This happened in their state, but they want to block them out, and I think it's an attempt to control the message. The last thing the administration wants to have to admit is that an ICE agent made a mistake because they're so high on ICE and they're so proud of what they're doing. I mentioned earlier that this is also what appears to be the blueprint of a national police force. A national police force that is responding to the whims of the president, the leader of our country. And police officers, law enforcement, do their job congruent with the Constitution. And if they don't, they get a consent decree. Ask the city of New Orleans. If they don't do their job, they go on trial and they sometimes go to prison because they did not do their job properly. They did not do their job as they were trained to do. So, you know, it's a tough situation, but the administration appears to want to establish a national police force. And that's something that should scare every American because the administration apparently wants to be able to give them orders that might not be legal, but orders that are congruent with the whims of the president. So, you know, again, when you don't have the Constitution on your side and law enforcement can do whatever they want, to me, as an American, that's pretty scary. So those are some of the things that that concern me about this. So that's not all that we're talking about. Yesterday after the show, I wrote a blog titled Why Louisiana is Number One in Population Loss. And that's posted on our website, WWL.com. It's also on Scoot on the Air Substack, Scoot on the Air Instagram and Facebook, and you can comment on it on Instagram and Facebook. And while there's a lot of talk about the economic decline and the job market decline, jobs declining in Louisiana as reasons that people don't come here or reasons that people leave, there's something else that I touched on yesterday. I got into it in more detail in the blog that I wrote. You know, Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry is a right-winger with ultra-conservative views. And these views are offensive to a lot of people. And many young people may want to get the hell out of this state because we're run by, at this point, an ultra-right-wing conservative. Also, the Louisiana legislature has been very right-wing and, in my opinion, ignorant in many things that it does. You know, the governor wants to end abortion rights. There are young people who don't want to live here because of the possibility that they might not have access to their abortion rights. Landry is also a fringe conservative when it comes to supporting the banning of books. And a lot of people disagree with that. So I don't think it should be underestimated how much impact Governor Landry's right-wing radical views and the radical views of the legislature, the ignorance, if you will, collectively of the legislature, not everybody in it, but collectively of the legislature. These things have a big impact on who comes to our state and who stays in our state. It's not just about economics. It's not just about jobs. It's also about the image of our governor and what he projects in terms of what he thinks Louisiana should be. And there is this subtle attempt to tell other people how to lead their lives. So I think a lot of people are upset with that. So that's something else that we have been talking about. Right now, let's go to Derek in Metairie before we move on to something I've been wanting to talk about all afternoon. Derek, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing today?
I'm good.
All right. I got three little things.
Okay.
One with the shooting in Minnesota with the ICE agent shooting the lady.
Mm-hmm.
So I watch videos on two different news things, CNN, MSNBC, and then I watch it on Fox. Three different stories being told. Fox showing a different angle where the guy was in front of the car and then he shot the lady. And they're trying to push the narrative that she hit him and he was hurt because that's what Donald Trump said. I mean, not Donald Trump, Kristen Noem. That's what she said. He was hurt and he was dragged and this would happen. That didn't happen. Now, she should have stopped. Yeah, she should have, but she was more scared for her life than she was trying to stop or being obedient to those guys. And it tells you, like, it's the same thing happened in the Capitol on January 6th when the lady was breaching the Capitol and she was shot. It's a double standard because they were saying that was murder and they saying this was justified. Those two actions are exactly the same. It was just in two different areas.
Yeah, that's an interesting point of view. And you're going to hear different stories from MS Now, which is formerly MSNBC, MS Now, and Fox News and CNN. You're going to hear different narratives. And, you know, that's where we are with the media. And it's hard for people to, you know, really kind of figure out what is the truth. But, you know, people lock on to the media that reflects their views and they believe everything that media tells them, even though that media is not always telling them the truth.
Yeah. Let me ask you one thing, Scoop.
Yeah.
So if the left wing is radicals and the right wing is radicals, what us independents are, the people that's in the middle?
Well, I describe myself as a radical moderate because I'm radical in that I'm not just some, you know, wishy-washy. You know, people have this opinion that if you're moderate, you really don't have an opinion. And that's not really true. You know, I'm very defiant with my opinions and I have very decisive, strong opinions. But I'm moderate because I don't belong to either party. I'm a registered independent and I will call out either party, and I do. And I like the word radical moderate because it suggests that, you know, I'm like radical in that I'm kind of stepping away from the image of what moderate is, but I'm moderate because I don't belong to either party. And so I think we can be very radical in some ways, too. The other thing is we are the ones that determine the outcome of elections. There are not enough MAGA supporters to put somebody in the White House. There are not enough left-wing radicals to put somebody in the White House, or some left-wing progressive would already be in the White House. The people that elect the president are those of us who are the radical moderates, those of us who are not part of either party, and they vote for who the best candidate is. Derek, go ahead, Derek.
No, I was saying, yeah, that we vote for best candidate. The only reason why I don't use the word radical, because radical seems like violence to me. It seems like you...
Yeah, I know. You know, when I first...
That's why I don't see it.
When I first started calling myself a radical moderate, radical didn't necessarily mean that. It just meant, in my opinion, it was just a step out of the norm, but it wasn't it wasn't violent.
Gotcha.
So I don't know. I may even rethink that. But, Derek, I appreciate the call. Glad to have you listening to our show. All right, so all the people that said, I'm never watching the NFL. I hate the NFL. They let Colin Kaepernick take a knee. They should have killed that guy. Well, that's the way some people seem to act. But anyway, what happened to all of the calls for boycotts of the NFL? And then they put end racism and things like that. It takes all of us on helmets and in the end zone. I don't want the NFL bringing politics into it. I just want to watch my sports. The hell with it. I'm not watching the NFL. What happened to all of that? We have finally got the answer coming up next. All right. Today, David Bowie would have been 78 years old. Loved this song. In fact, the only time I saw David Bowie was during the Young American Tour. Went to Memphis and saw him in concert there. But I love the lyrics to this song. So we'll listen to that as we go to break on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We're honoring David Bowie, who would have been 78 years old today. I'm Scoot on the air. Tonight, it's the college football playoff semifinal with number 10 Miami and number 6 Ole Miss playing in the Fiesta Bowl. We did an instant SOTA text off, and our audience, 70% of our audience thinks Ole Miss is going to win. 30% thinks Miami's going to win. I agree with the audience. I think Ole Miss is going to find a way to win the game. All right, so there's been a lot of talk in recent years about boycotting the NFL, and I mean, people are defiant. I heard it on this show. If you're listening, you heard it too. You heard the voices of people who were just disgusted with the NFL. They let that guy take a knee. It was almost like this person was committing treason as opposed to expressing an opinion. I wouldn't have taken a knee. I don't agree with it, but he did it. It's an expression. I don't agree with it, but he did it. But yet, people were saying, I'm boycotting the NFL because he took a knee. This is ridiculous. I'm done with the NFL. And then the NFL brings in phrases like, and racism, and it takes all of us. And they put that in the end zones, and they put that on helmets, and more people are saying, I'm boycotting the NFL. Don't bring politics into it. I just want to see a sport. If you're going to bring politics into it, I'm boycotting the NFL. So how have those boycotts gone? Well, the NFL is kicking ass. The boycotts failed. All of those big voices, all of those people who were so determined to think that they had the power to bring down the NFL, they were wrong. The NFL is thriving. An average game this year attracted 18.7 million viewers. That was this last 2025 season. That's up 7% from last year. So last year was really good. This year was even better. This includes broadcast, cable, and also streaming services. CBS, NBC, and Prime Video saw record-setting season averages for NFL viewers. The Fox Network had the best season ever since 2015. Now, Colin Kaepernick took a knee in 2016. So 2015 was a big year for Fox News. Maybe there was a little dip after that, but Fox News had the best season since 2015. ESPN had the second best season, doing really well. And the one game that was the most watched game this past season, and I don't know, maybe there's going to be another one that will beat it, but I doubt it. It was Thanksgiving Day, the game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Dallas Cowboys. Attracted over 57 million viewers. That is unbelievable. The Cowboys won that game 31-28. I'm sure that caused a lot of people to lose their Thanksgiving appetite. But anyway, that Chiefs-Cowboys game attracted over 57 million viewers. And the NFL is doing fine. So the official word is all of that talk about boycotting, all of the tough talk about boycotting and thinking that, you know, you've got the power to bring down the NFL with your cries for a boycott, it all failed. It all failed. The NFL is doing fine, attracting more viewers than ever. And people are watching. There are things that I don't like about the NFL. There are things that I don't like about the officials. There are things I don't like about the league office. There are a lot of things that I don't like about the league, but I'm into it. I mean, I'm watching. I accept it for what it is. It is a great distraction from the issues that I have to deal with in my life. It's a great distraction from, you know, working on this show, even though I love to work on the show, but it's a great distraction. And man, this wild card weekend, man, there's some great games, and there have been so many close games. There have been so many good games this season that, you know, I love it. And I love that there are new teams that have a chance to get to the Super Bowl. And it's not the same old teams. The same thing with college football. I mean, Ole Miss has a chance. Ole Miss has a chance to get to the college football championship. Also, Oregon. Well, Oregon's been a good team for a while, but you know, Miami, Ole Miss, Indiana, and Oregon are the four teams, and it's just nice to see some new teams in there. So anyway, I look forward to all of this. I think it's a great distraction. Also, if you haven't heard, Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson has announced that he is entering the 2026 NFL draft. So that's another quarterback who is going to be part of the NFL. And also, I'm sure you've heard this, Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel has been fired. So there are now 8 head coaching openings in the NFL. And, you know, Tua was kind of a mess this year for whatever reason. And that wasn't all Mike McDaniel's fault. And there was talk about, you know, unrest in the locker room. And I don't know. I think that situation in Miami is really a mess. And, you know, John Harbaugh was fired after many years with the Baltimore Ravens. He will be picked up almost instantly. He said he doesn't need a rest. And he is ready to coach again. He's not going to take a year off and do the TV thing, which I'm sure he would be able to do if he wanted to. But he said he's ready to get right back into coaching. So I expect he will have a position very soon. I think the Saints have their coach in Kellen Moore. But John Harbaugh would be, you know, maybe somebody to take a look at. It seems like there was some kind of tension between Lamar Jackson and the coach and Harbaugh. Seemed like there was some kind of tension there. And Lamar Jackson, as I mentioned yesterday, you know, he's got to have a lot of power with the Baltimore Ravens because they need him to renegotiate his contract, because his contract is for like $74.5 million. That is a quarter of the salary cap. So a quarter of the money of the team is going to one player. And how are you going to put together a team with that much money going to one player? You can't. And so it's in Lamar Jackson's best interest to renegotiate the contract, because he wants good players around him, or he's going to get his butt put on the ground all the time if he doesn't have a good offensive line and other things. So, look, I think there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of drama. There'll be a lot of new head coaches around the NFL. There's going to be some switching around. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, a coach can fail with one team and then get into another situation and be successful. And I'm learning more and more about how much the front office has to do with the success of NFL teams. And it's the culture, it's the players. And I like what Mickey Loomis is saying when he says he's looking to find players in the offseason and through the draft that fit the culture of the team. And they're going to build the team around Tyler Shuck. They're not going to just bring in players and Tyler Shuck is the quarterback and then we'll bring in this player. No, I mean, this is a good mentality. This is a good direction to go in. And I don't know if the Saints have always considered this, but, you know, sometimes the best player is not the best fit for the team. And it seems like Mickey Loomis is talking about this. And maybe he always has, and I just missed it. All right, let's go to Thomas on the West Bank. Thomas, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. I have two questions, but
okay.
The first thing, I'm wondering if you would criticize, because you said earlier that, and I agree with you, that Kristi Noem and Trump are embellishing what happened in this incident in Minneapolis. The lady wasn't a domestic terrorist, and she wasn't running down the officers and dragging the officers, as they say. And I agree with you. I think they're embellishing. But I'm wondering, and I don't know if you did, and I just didn't hear it, if you would criticize Mayor Frey, I think it is, and Governor Waltz on their premature comments of before anything even came out. They were saying that it's a murder and basically fanning the flames of disdain against ICE. And it seemed pretty reckless to me. And I think even Governor Waltz went to the extreme of saying that he put out a warning order insinuating that he would mobilize the Minnesota National Guard against federal agents. It's, it seems pretty reckless to me, and I'm just wondering if you would criticize that as well.
Yeah, of course, I'd be happy to criticize that. I didn't hear exactly what they said, but I think that their opinion of ICE was already established before this shooting, and they should not have used the shooting to embellish their side of the story. But I'm sure they wanted ICE out of there before this tragic shooting happened. And they were just, you know, talking about how they want ICE out of there. There are a lot of people who don't agree with ICE being in their city. And it's not so much removing illegals from a city. It's how they're doing it. It's the mentality of ICE, really, through Stephen Miller, the, you know, chief executive of I guess it's the chief executive or deputy, I think a deputy executive chief of staff or something like that. Anyway, he's part of Trump's brain. Especially when it comes to immigration. And Stephen Miller is very aggressive, and the way that he wants this handled, I think, has caused a lot of people to just rally against ICE in general. So I'd have to go back and see what they said. But I have no problem criticizing, you know, Democrats. I've criticized Democrats a lot on this show. And I find it interesting that people don't seem to hear it. You know, people are so divided today that, you know, if I say something negative about a Republican, they focus on that and they think that I could never say anything negative about a Democrat. I can say negative things about Republicans and Democrats at the same time, and I do. So, you know, I'll have to go back and see what they said exactly. As I have admitted, I haven't really studied this story to the degree where I have a definitive opinion on exactly what happened, and I'm not sure. And I'm going to wait for more information to come out, and we'll see what happened. You know, the question is simple. Did the ICE agent need to shoot the woman? And that's the question that we really don't know the answer to. But people seem to know the answer based on their political views. They've decided, not based on an investigation or the facts, they've decided based on what their political opinion is. So anyway, I'll have to pay attention to that and see. All right, David Bowie would have been 78 years old today. I'm picking some of my favorite David Bowie songs to honor him today by using Bowie bumper music this hour. Another one of my favorites, and man, David Bowie had a big comeback in the 80s with songs like Modern Love. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us. We'll be right back on
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Be well. David Bowie would have been 78 years old today. Really sad that he is gone. He was just one of the most innovative rock performers in our lifetime. So NOPD is apparently going to get their bonuses, which is great news. It's going to come from a payroll loan, and we've got the story on our website. There's a catch involved there, but they're going to get their bonuses, which is good. We've got the story on our website, WWL.com. Also, we were talking earlier in the show about the Metropolitan Crime Commission wanting to undo legislation that allows concealed carry in the French Quarter without a permit. There's just too much debauchery. There's too much drinking. There's too much going on in the quarter, and I don't think we need people walking around with guns that don't even have a permit. A lot of people own guns for the wrong reason. They own guns because it goes along with their political views. You know, they can own a gun. It's, you know, there are a lot of Democrats, especially in this area. A lot of Democrats own guns. A lot of liberals own guns. This is not just a Republican thing, but the perception is, you know, if you're Republican, you know, you own a gun because you exercise your right to the Second Amendment, even if you don't need it. And do you remember when there was the threat of the Syrian refugees coming to Louisiana and coming to the Gulf Coast? Do you know a lot of people went out and bought guns because they really thought they were going to have to shoot Syrian refugees? I mean, it's really kind of funny. I mean, at the time I said, you know, You don't need to worry about this. They're just trying to scare you. And the facts and reality really proves that I was right. It was just a scare tactic. The Syrian refugees didn't show up in your yards. They didn't threaten you. But yet, you know, I mean, people actually went out and bought guns to protect themselves from Syrians. Got to get a gun. Might have to shoot some Syrians. And, you know, it never happened. So I don't think the French Quarter, which is a very special place, I don't think we need people running around drinking that much and doing whatever else they're doing. I don't think we need people running around with concealed carry without a permit. You know, I mean, a lot of people who own guns shouldn't own guns. And I'm, as I said earlier, and as I have said really throughout my career, I am a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. I'm a strong supporter of gun rights. But there are some restrictions. And there should be some restrictions. And you can have some restrictions and support restrictions and still be a supporter of the Second Amendment. I don't know. Do we have time to get to any of these text messages? Here is Scoot. Here's the text that says, Scoot, call your friend Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. He was one of the ones that publicly said that he'd boycott the NFL. Well, you know, if Billy said that, then Billy and I disagree. I think the whole call for a boycott was uncalled for, and it didn't work. I mean, that's, you know, that's the reality of it. Here's a text that says, Scoot, if wives decided not to have sex with their husbands who are boycotting the NFL, would that be a boink? Would that be boycotting? Yeah, that would be boycotting the NFL. That's indeed, that's exactly what that would be. I'm glad we were able to clear that up. Yeah, exactly.
While I have you, last hour you were talking about Trump saying he wants to go to the moon before his term. And this is before my time, so I asked you,
I don't think he wants to go. I think
he wants to send people.
Yeah, people. He wants people on the moon by 2030, even though he's going to be out in 2028. So I think that's another clue that he's planning on running in 2028.
So maybe you'll recall, did Ralph Cramden successfully send Alice to the moon? I never saw the show, but I hear that was one of his missions. Did he accomplish that? Or
constantly, Ralph Cramden on the old show, The Honeymooners, he was constantly threatening to punch his wife so hard they would send her to the moon. Whenever she made fun of his weight or something, he would go, Alice, to the moon! And he would make a fist, and he tried to send her to the moon. As far as I know, she never went.
Oh, okay.
A lot of threats. And, you know, if you watch reruns of a show like Leave It to Beaver, you hear a lot about parents beating kids. And, I mean, this is on in reruns. Once in a while, I'll stop and watch an old episode because it's a fun memory for me. But they're constantly talking about their parents beating them. And there are situations where, let's say, Gilbert will ask Beaver to come over because they did something wrong, and Gilbert will say, well, Beaver, if you're there, my dad won't hit me as hard. You know, stuff like this. I mean, they're constantly talking about child beatings on you know, Leave It to Beaver. And then there was that classic line about Ward and June, and, you know, don't you think, well, you know the line. Well, you know, she really did say that in an episode. That's not one of those urban myths. All right, another one of the classic Bowie hits. Bowie, who would have been 78 today. I'm Scoop. We'll be back to a wrap. Oh, listen, here's what I want to know. Very quickly, do this. Send me a text right now. What is the relationship between Ole Miss and Hottie Toddy? So there are even license plates from Mississippi, Ole Miss license plate that say Hottie Toddy. What's the deal with Ole Miss and Hottie Toddy? I need an answer before the show ends. The Open Heart text line, 504-260-1870. You know, every time I hear this song, I think about the movie Wedding Singer, you know, where Julia is really drunk in the bar and with her friends and getting drunk, and they start singing this song, and then she goes to the bathroom to yak. You know, yakking can turn a really attractive woman into a very unattractive woman. So wait, do we have any answers to Hottie Toddy? I got to try and get an answer. I forgot to check the text here. Yes, it's Elvis's birthday. Elvis would have been 91 today. We did check that. Let's see. Scooter, unfortunately, that's not it. That's not it. I thought we would get an answer to the relationship between Hottie Toddy and Ole Miss. And I don't know what it is. All right, sports talk with Mike and Steve coming up next. Tomorrow we'll talk about the college playoff game tonight and the one tomorrow night. We'll talk about wild card weekend at the NFL. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, studio producer Coleman, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, and traffic with Court TV. As always, I really sincerely thank all of you for tuning in and being part of our show. And remember, you're listening to WWL. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.